Hello and welcome to DGT Radio, DGT's knowledge sharing podcast, exploring themes and topics that are relevant to our everyday work. So today I am in Rue Joseph II with two colleagues from DG Marais, Maris Stulgis. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes, I'm used to that pronunciation.
But what is the right pronunciation?
Stulgis Maris.
Stulgis Maris, and with Lorenzo Pagliotta. Lorenzo and Maris, thank you very much for finding a bit of time to talk to me. And what we want to do today is to talk about the blue bioeconomy, and in particular about the algae and seaweed sector. So maybe we can start by saying a few words about you. Maris, where do you work?
Yeah, thanks for inviting us, Caroline, for this interesting opportunity for this interview. So we are working in DG Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, DG Mare, and in particular, I'm in charge of the blue bioeconomy and an algae file in the unit Mare A2, dealing with marine special planning, blue economy sectors, aquaculture, the broad range of blue economy sectors. And in the past, I was mostly dealing with the fisheries policy development and implementation, and also environmental policy development and implementation, both in the Latvian National Administration and DG Mare.
Thank you. And Lorenzo, a few words about you.
Yes, so my name is Lorenzo Pagliotta. I am a junior professional at the European Commission since June 2022, so almost 1 year now, meaning that I rotate across different DGs. I worked 6 months for DG Energy, and now I joined DG Mare last December, where I work mostly on algae and blue bioeconomy with Maris.
So maybe we can start by a few words about the blue economy, because it's not that obvious for everybody what is the blue economy and what sectors it encompasses in the EU.
Yes, so what do we mean by blue economy? So very roughly, it's all the economic activities that are in a way or in another linked to the sea. So we mean all these economic activities that are either marine-based, meaning all the activities undertaken directly in the sea or in the oceans or in the coastal or insular areas, or the activities that are marine-related, meaning all these activities which use products or produce goods or services based on ocean resources, such as, for instance, seafood processing. The second thing, the blue economy covers both the established sectors with a long-term proven contribution to the general EU economy, such as fisheries, aquaculture, maritime transport, as well as the emerging sectors, which are the ones which show a high potential for future developments. So here we mean, for instance, ocean renewable energies, blue bioeconomy, which will be explained a bit further by Maris, or coastal protection. The last element that we put in the blue economy in DG Mare are the key enablers, such as maritime spatial planning, ocean literacy, which we believe will be crucial to achieve the transition of our ocean economy. To conclude, just a few data. According to our latest blue economy report, the EU blue economy provides 4.5 million direct jobs and generates a turnover of 667 billion euros and a growth value added of 184 billion euros. So it is a notable contribution to the general EU economy.
You were talking about the transition. So we are transitioning, as I understand, going from an approach of blue growth to an approach of sustainable blue economy. And I really like this slogan from the Commission, which says, putting the blue into the green, which I understand as meaning that we have to integrate the blue economy into the objectives of the Green Deal. Am I understanding the slogan and the concept right? Is that what the transition is about?
So yes, indeed, you understand it right. So what we need to understand is that in the past, the Commission had based its maritime policy on the concept of blue growth. Yet, this concept is not anymore in line with the overall policies of the EU. taking into consideration the Green Deal, the biodiversity strategy, and more generally the respect we need to show to our oceans when we are developing economic activities at sea. This is precisely the reason why the Commission has shifted away from this old view and has developed a new approach for a sustainable blue economy in 2021, an ambition in which the development of an ocean industry and the environmental protection go hand in hand. The main objective of this new approach is indeed, as you said, to anchor the EU maritime policy to the Green Deal. The underlying philosophy is dual, I would say. Healthy oceans are a precondition, one, for a thriving blue economy, and two, for the EU to be genuinely green, because, as we used to say in DG Mare, green without blue is just yellow. So to this end, the 2021 communication takes a systemic view and sets out a detailed agenda to deliver on a wide range of goals, such as climate adaptation, coastal protection and coastal resilience, improving space management at sea, etc. One of the most recent follow-ups to this approach, just to give an example, is the creation of a Blue Forum for users of the sea to coordinate. The launch event of this new Blue Forum is scheduled for the 26th of May this year in Brest, back-to-back with the European Maritime Day. And we believe it will be a very important step in the construction of this sustainable blue economy.
Now, I understand that the blue bioeconomy is a very important sector within the blue economy. So it has a central role to play for this shift towards a sustainable blue economy. Would you agree with that? And what do we call exactly the blue bioeconomy?
Blue bioeconomy is an emerging sector of the blue economy that Lorenzo just explained. And what it exactly means. So blue bioeconomy incorporates any economic activity associated with the use of renewable aquatic biological resources to make products. So logically, fisheries and aquaculture should be part of it, but to really distinguish the blue bioeconomy from these well-established sectors, so basically fisheries and aquaculture is not included into the notion of the blue bioeconomy. So what it actually includes then? So it includes the waste raw materials or waste from fisheries and aquaculture, which is fish waste or shellfish waste, so it could be part of the blue bioeconomy. It could be new emerging organisms because of climate change, like jellyfish, sea urchins, and sea stars. But the most notable sector of the EU blue bioeconomy is recognized algae sector.
So you were mentioning algae and seaweed, which is really a very promising sector within the blue bioeconomy. I even read that the UN talks about a seaweed revolution. In 2022, the Commission issued a communication called Towards a Strong and Sustainable EU Algae Sector. And the aim of the Commission is to unlock the potential of algae in the European Union. What is this potential? I understand that algae can have a huge environmental impact. What can we do with algae?
Yeah, maybe just starting from beginning of your question, indeed. So the Commission devoted quite a lot of attention to algae sector in the last, let's say, 2 years. And we have made quite comprehensive analysis together with an entire sector stakeholders. So it's basically, yeah, it's a good communication, it's a good document. So I would really invite you to look at it and read. And basically this communication is having 23 specific actions that are structured around the four main action areas. And maybe it's worth to really mention them now is that we are looking on how to improve the governance framework, because it's really important that there is a governance in place in the member state, that algae farmers have really clarity on how and where they can get licenses, how to allocate, how they can get space for their cultivation and so on. We need to improve improve the business environment because it almost doesn't exist in Europe for the algae farmers. It's a really new sector. Of course, we have a lot of knowledge gaps and data gaps, and research is needed. And this is where we are focusing on. And also, the area where we are lagging behind Asia is really to increase the awareness and acceptance of Europeans, and also raise awareness about that what this sector could bring to the economies. Once speaking about the seaweed revolution, that indeed UN Global Compact have identified its potential, maybe just few figures that could be interesting for listeners. So we know that oceans are covering 70% of our air surface, but only 2% of calorie intake of food are coming from the ocean. So only these figures are already giving the huge potential. Then maybe just another. We know that globally there are 35 million tons of algae produced. This 99% and even more are coming from Asia. European production is 0.25%. And it's interesting to notice that these 35 million tons, most of this is seaweed production. They are cultivated only on 1,200 square kilometers. This is the area where this is cultivated. At the same time, if we consider only European coastal waters close to the shore where the really seaweed could be cultivated, this is 570,000 square kilometers available. So if we, for instance, take the example of the North Sea, then it could make only 0.2% of the North Sea covered to produce 35 million tons. So it's already something. And then it's not only the sea. Of course, we also have the microalgae and cyanobacteria, I mean, spirulina production. Many people know spirulina, but this is mostly coming from Asia as well. But there are more and more companies in Europe that are starting to grow spirulina, but in very small amounts. And then the recent study of DG Mare also identified that in Europe, there are around 100,000 square kilometers of non-agricultural land that couldn't be used for agriculture, that could be potentially used for algae cultivation. And if in this area we set up the algae cultivation companies' farms, this could deliver many million tons of algae biomass to produce various range of products. And from algae, you can make really a various products. You can make food, feed, pharmaceuticals. You can make cosmetic products, plant biostimulants, bio-based plastic, and more. And you asked why this is good for the environment. So when growing in the sea, the seaweed is consuming excess carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus that causes all the various environmental problems, like ocean acidification that could cause coral deaths or decline of some fishing populations, and eutrophication. Eutrophication is basically excess nutrients in the water from agriculture. Mm-hmm. We know that 70% of the fertilizers that are used in agriculture are leaking into the natural waters, into the rivers and lakes, and then entering, hitting the sea. So, and eutrophication really leads a range of environmental problems, like increased algae growth, like algae blooms.
So these are the bad algae, these ones?
Yes, these are the ones, and they are making often the image of algae in Europe, of Europeans. And this is exactly where we need to be better in communicating what is the threats and what are the opportunities. If we speak about bad algae, I mean, everybody have heard about the golden algae case in Germany in last summer. But this is not something that you need to extrapolate to the entire algae image in Europe, because there are much more good things that could be done by algae. Mm-hmm. And of course, then when growing at sea, algae also provide the habitat for fish and marine organisms. And once you consider this, then maybe we also need to emphasize the opportunity that algae sector could go beyond the notion of sustainability. So Lorenzo mentioned sustainable blue economy. Sustainable means that we keep the things as they are. At least we do not let them get worse. With the regeneration, you can help really to regenerate the health of the ocean. And this is where exactly the seaweed could play a role. Because if carbon, nitrogen and phosphorus, the excess ones, are removed from the sea, it could help also the sea to regenerate. It could create habitats for local species, mm-hmm. for small fish to also to feed and to breed there.
Yeah, I have this picture here with all the different applications or all the different things that the algae and seaweed can be used for. And for example, they can be used as fertilizers. Is it already done or is it something that is being researched?
Yeah, we have some countries that are already making the professional fertilizers, or better call them plant biostimulants, mm-hmm. like Portugal. They are collecting the beached algae that are washed ashore, and they are making biostimulants pellets, and they are selling it on the market. But this is more exception rather than the rule. Then also traditionally, the farmers, agriculture farmers, were collecting the seaweed that is beached on shore, collect them, and then just put on the fields. Because they are full of useful elements for the plant growth, and some really see the quite big potential of algae to be made as plant biostimulants. This is one of the big application areas. Mm-hmm. But once you speak about these various application areas, of course you need to consider what are the global picture, what is the global figures. And then basically global figures show that around 85 to 90% of the algae production globally are used for human food. Mm-hmm. What is human food? So sushi, knows everyone. So wakame chips that you can buy in every supermarket. And our idea and role, of course, here is to move towards the European origin, sushi sheets and wakame chips in future, because this all 100% comes from Asia currently.
As I understand, the EU has no competence in this sector in the sense that it cannot set the rules. It can support and it can give incentives, but it cannot legislate. Would you agree with that? So what can the European Commission do? How does it support the algae sector?
That's a very good and pertinent question. So we need to speak about the aquaculture as a sector, which is the closest to the algae cultivation. And common fisheries policy is quite clear on that. While fisheries is exclusive competence of the EU, for the aquaculture there is a special status, which says that the EU is coordinating via the open method of coordination. What does it mean in practice in real life? So in real life, it means that the DG Mare has developed together with the relevant stakeholders EU strategic aquaculture guidelines. And these guidelines are really setting some strategic directions and setting also a list of actions to be implemented together with the relevant stakeholders. So then we have also set up aquaculture assistance mechanism that really is looking on a number of aspects and setting up a number of guidelines that individual member states would not do themselves. And these guidelines then are based on the best available knowledge and practices across the EU, where the entire aquaculture community could benefit from. Of course, you are right. So we are not legislating, but we are coordinating and helping to share best practices, to share what is the best available knowledge and information on the EU scale, and how this could help also improve the national aquaculture strategies.
And I understand as well that the European Commission can give funds as well, can finance initiatives, research.
Yes. Again, we need to consider that the algae sector is a bit in a chicken and egg situation. And the sector is almost inexistent in Europe, and therefore we don't have the necessary governance and legislation, I mean horizontal legislation now on the EU level. But at the same time, we are trying to integrate algae into the new and existing EU initiatives, like recently it was the Farm to Fork strategy or sustainable carbon cycles. And then on the funding, of course, the biggest chunk of the money comes from the new EU research framework program Horizon Europe. Now, of course, we are trying to integrate into the plans of this new Horizon Europe the algae in various research funding streams. And last year there were three huge projects were funded, where funds were allocated from 8 to 9 million euro to the three ones. Maybe it's even worse to name them, because they can change a bit the landscape of the research. These are CMARC, to look at the seaweed-based market applications, CIRCALG, to look at the valorization of industrial algae waste streams into high-value products to foster the future blue biorefineries in Europe, and REALM, reusing effluents from agriculture to unlock the potential of microalgae. Then, of course, there are national European Maritime and Aquaculture Fund projects, where we, from one hand, member states have 90% of that fund money split among themselves, and we are promoting really that algae is included into their national operational programs, mm-hmm. to develop, to test, to pilot, and to try the things to help the sector to develop. From other hand, we have some our share, and where we also are launching the studies to look at the areas where we have knowledge and data gaps. Like we had two recent studies to look at what impact algae could make on the climate, and whether there are enough nutrients for algae and shellfish cultivation in Europe, mm-hmm. in the existing situation. And then there are other funding calls. And I also did not mention yet the very important aspect that one of the studies we have launched is the EU for Algae, or European Algae Stakeholder Forum, that currently accounts already more than 700 registered members. Mm-hmm. And that forum is supposed to be really delivering a number of cherries for the entire algae sector. It will work on developing the necessary business support mechanisms. Mm-hmm. It will list the current open algae funding calls. It will look on the licensing procedures in all the EU member states to serve as a one-stop shop. It currently has seven working groups, and these all working groups are really bottom-up. They identify what are the exact needs for the sector currently in each of these areas. The working groups are like algae for food, or algae for feed, mm-hmm. algae for cosmetics.
And who are these 700 members of the forum then? Are they researchers? Are they members of national authorities?
Yeah, I would say they represent entire algae sector landscape. So these are algae farmers, producers, sellers, consumers, technology developers, business organizations, investors, public authorities, academia representatives, researchers, and even NGOs. And they are mostly, of course, Europe-based. But if you look on the map of these stakeholders, that I would say there is a global representation. So there is United States, Asia, Australia.
In terms of support, I understand that there will be a conference organized in Paris.
Yes, indeed. We plan to organize a conference 5 to 7 October in Paris, in Maison de l'Océan. And the focus will be really on the national and regional aquaculture authorities, to really raise their awareness, to really inspire them, to really allow them to taste algae products and benefit from the experience of entire world, where there will be speakers from all the world regions that are cultivating algae. Our idea is also to bring a number of exhibitors that can demonstrate to the national authorities that it's not something that it's theoretical, that to really demonstrate and allow them to taste and to touch the various algae products that are already available on the EU market, and inspire them by maybe immersive experience or virtual reality experience related to algae. So, and on the 7th October, Maison de l'Océan will be open to the public. So anyone could come there and really see these exhibitions and maybe benefit also from some prominent speakers in the algae sector. Like, for instance, Vincent Dumizel, who is author of the Seaweed Revolution book that in April is translated from French to English as well, and maybe some other speakers. So this is an opportunity. This is something that the Commission is doing to really raise awareness and acceptance, also to explain to the national authorities what added value the algae sector could bring to the national and regional economies, and also inspire them for the change in the policies and governance on the national level.
So just maybe to wrap up as a conclusion to this really, really interesting overview of the algae sector and the blue bioeconomy. I saw recently a BBC documentary on the internet called "Are Underwater Farms the Future of Food?" What do you think? What would you answer to that?
Yeah, I know the movie you are talking about, uh-huh. And I get quite inspired by that myself, because it's about American fisherman Brent Smith, who has changed his life after being an extractive fisherman, extracting from the sea the resources for 15 years, and then he suddenly changed for 180 degrees and become a regenerative ocean farmer. And he's very, very ambitious, and aims really to have 10,000 farmers trained in 10 years. And answering to your question, yes, of course, this is why we basically had this initiative in the European Commission on the first place. But we also need to be meaningful, that we still need to act in many directions. It's basically these four action areas that I mentioned. We need to take into account the concerns of the Europeans and the science as regards the food safety aspects, as regards the potential impact on the environment and local ecosystems, and many other aspects. So, the answer is yes. So it could be, and it should be. I would not say that the long or even mid-term future. We hope very much that it's a short-term future, mm-hmm. because the recent Blue Bay Economy report says that 1/3 of the companies in the algae sector are located in Europe. And I also told you that, but there is almost no production in Europe. There is a lot of SMEs and startups in Europe that are interested and even acting in the algae sector, but they don't have yet production. So our role is really to look at the bottlenecks and remove them as much as we can, that the algae sector is really unlocking its potential.
Well, I must say I wish you all the best, and I hope that you will manage to unlock this potential. And I thank you very much again, Maris and Lorenzo, for finding a bit of time to talk to us and to explain to us this really promising and super interesting area of the blue bioeconomy. Thanks again.
Thanks to you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much. It was indeed a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks, Caroline.
This was DGT Radio with Maris Turgis and Lorenzo Pagliotta from DGMAR. Thank you for listening.